This is CKUW 95.9 FM, where programming is made by, for, and about the Winnipeg community.
I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, Deb Toth will be telling us a little bit about the REACT program at Lakeshore St. Andrew's Church. So what can you tell me about REACT?
Well, first of all, REACT stands for Recovery Education for Addictions and Complex Trauma. So there's two things happening here. There's addiction as well as complex trauma. Many people can relate to a simple trauma. It's a one-time event that's happened in their life, perhaps a car accident, a death of someone close to them, one-time event that really affects them. Whereas complex trauma, it's a little bit harder to detect when and where your lack or your need began. So that's REACT. Right there in a nutshell, I think.
So when you say complex trauma, I'm guessing this is something that has a long-term mental health impact, something that would impact a person's ability to, say, form stable relationships or interact by society.
Yes, correct. As I was saying, oftentimes, say you're a child and maybe you have a little bit of an abandonment issue, or your parents were always yelling and screaming at each other. And as a child, you know, we can't get away from the situation. So instead, we try to accept the situation for what it is and alter our behavior around that. So as an adult, you forgot often when that was, when you kind of stopped growing. So yeah, you're right. It's an ongoing thing, and there is a way of asking the right questions and finding the tools that are able to stop that process and really look at when all of these things started and start to deal with them.
So how is the church going about reaching out to those who could potentially benefit from this program?
Well, we're hoping that out here in our Tecumseh area, at Lakeshore St. Andrew's Church, where we're going to be holding the REACT courses, that we would be able to get behind closed doors in this area where it's not so obvious that you're hurting, that you have trauma. When you're in areas that are a little bit more down and out, oftentimes you bump into people that you will know that they could benefit from something like this. But in this kind of a situation, we really need to get the word out that don't stay in isolation. Come to a program like this where really the benefit of it all that I found when I took the course is it's really group therapy, and you sit shoulder to shoulder with other people that are just like you, and you think you're so alone, but you start to hear other people's stories and you realize, hey, that's exactly how I have felt for the last 40 years, or that's exactly the way I was treated, that's exactly when I got stuck. And it's hard to figure that out in isolation. I love the fact that it's in group.
What's interesting about that is, with many disabilities and mental health challenges I've covered over the years, I've heard time and again from people saying, I used to think it was just me against the world, and meeting just one other person who's been on this journey can change it from somebody else has been there. They've walked this road, and they face these challenges. Mm-hmm. You think there are benefits in that, and so much as a person can look at someone else's successes and say, I want to get that for myself, too.
Yeah, I actually, whenever I'm in the class, I always kind of say when I leave, man, I almost feel like I'm on holy ground somehow. The vulnerability is what's so attractive, that we can really gain authentically from one another and pour into one another authentically. Vulnerability is a big part of this. Triggers come up often. What are the things that trigger us? And if we're not honest with those things, it's going to be very difficult to unpeel the onion, so to speak, and really get at the core issues from what happened. I always say, well, I've heard Tim Fletcher say this, who is the founder of this REACT program. We need to stop asking ourselves, what is wrong with me? And start asking ourselves, what happened to me?
So if you could send any message to the community about the need for programs like this and for providing ongoing support for authentic care of those who have been affected, what would you say?
I would say don't waste another day without trying to get to the root of why it is that you behave the way you behave or feel you need the things that you need, why you might be prone to addiction. You're not alone. There's science behind all of this. There are 12 needs that need to be met on a daily basis. 3 of them are physical, and the rest of them are emotional. And if one of those needs are not met, that's when you're off balance. And there is help for that. You can live a balanced life. You can nurture what you missed out on. And REACT will give you the tools to be able to do that. You can recover.
So how can people go about finding out more about Lakeshore and the REACT offering?
Well, for the REACT program at LSA, there is a total of 8 modules with 5 lessons per module, and that's a total of 40 weeks. Now, you don't have to commit to all 40 weeks. We just ask that you do commit for the 5 weeks of each module. You could skip a module and come back. But to have that 5-week commitment for each block of lessons. The cost for that is $50 for each module. So that's like $10 a session. You can pay that at LSA in the office at the start of each module. And what we're offering right now is a Wednesday evening class as well as a Thursday morning class starting in February. February 12th will be Wednesday, and February 20th will be the Thursday morning classes.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this.
Thank you, Cam.
My pleasure.
This next interview, my friends, is a post-dated one, so some of the events referred to may already have happened. In this segment of our show, Ryan Yellowleaves will be sharing a little bit of his disability story. So, can you tell me a little bit about your disability story and how it led you to want to be a part of Every Canadian Counts?
Well, I guess it starts a long time ago. Like, I was diagnosed with Duchenne muscular dystrophy at about 2.5 years old. And, at the time, there wasn't much mental health support at that time. Then I kind of, my athleticism career or whatever, they started when I was neurologist was telling me the various ways I was supposedly supposed to die at 19. But then I felt like it was unprofessional and wrong at that age. I kind of was also 8 years old, kind of like my own version of social justice or disability activism, because I knew I wanted to do something to resist it.
So
then that kind of evolved into me wanting to become a counselor in high school, then pursuing my goals, getting my bachelor's degree in psychology, then my master's of counseling, then I became a registered clinical counselor.
So
I could help other families kind of like overcome their challenges with disabilities and other people with disabilities, and like have help them to act it. Do their own disability activism and kind of like mentor them how they could fight for the medical system, get what they want, fight for long-term disability, which I'm very excited helping those people. It's like to succeed in those activism arenas for their own health and wellness.
So, do you have any advice for those out there who might be discouraged because they got a diagnosis, as you did, being told your life will only be X, Y, and Z, rather than exploring for themselves what their potential is?
Well, I would say to say, pursue your dreams no matter what people say. Like, there's always going to be negative people saying, you can't do this, can't do that. Just ignore them, kind of like what I did. There's always seeing somebody say, oh, you don't need to do that, or you don't need to pursue a bachelor's degree or your master's degree. Just like pursue your dreams regardless of what people say. And I kind of like, there's always going to be somebody negative, like you can either decide to listen to them or challenge them. Like you can challenge and prove them wrong if they're wrong, and it's your life. No doctor, no family member, no anybody can tell you how to live your life. Really up to you to decide if you want to live your life to the fullest or just not achieve the dreams and die of lots of regrets.
So, do you think the way that you've managed to achieve sort of sets a precedent for those who would follow, those who want to develop more social justice and want to become great advocates?
In theory, said say it another way.
Do you think that your own work has set a precedent for those who would follow in terms of social justice? Do you think you're sort of setting the standard by which those who want to improve things for the disability community, sort of a path for them to follow?
Being like president's kind of like passing on the torch to the next generation of disability activists.
Yeah, I'm wondering how you see the future of disability advocacy and social justice.
I guess like people like knowing my story and like never to give up and like encourage other people to do their own disability justice and activism, that they need to push back against society because we're in this together. The more voices that push against the way society and the government is treating us, the more change that will happen. And I guess like kind of educating people about disability justice and encouraging parents to encourage their kids to use their greatest potential that they can, and not being satisfied with the status quo and saying no, and not being afraid to stand up to that. So I think like my example and my legacy will leave behind will have a significant impact.
So
and I like me helping people give voice to encourage them to stand up and rise up and to make changes. Really, I see really important. And for the disability community, the non-disability community to come together needs to happen for change, real change to occur.
So, in your own work, has there been any success moment or story in your advocacy that stands out for you?
Well, I'll say when I was a student at the City University, there was no properly trained disability coordinators, so students like me and the other people I knew with disabilities weren't getting the proper funding that they needed. So then I started asking the president, will you be willing to hire, if the proper Canadian one, because they only had an American coordinator, didn't know anything about Canadian, like, processing from BC, SUNY, BC, and stuff like that. So I was going back and forth with the president of the school, and then they were saying, oh, we don't have funding for that. Then I kind of, like, got more, like, intense and said, oh, if you don't do that, then I'll go to the Human Rights Commission of BC and make a case against you and file a complaint to the Ministry of Education in BC. Then after I said that, he was changed his mind very drastically. So he decided to hire it and then hire them, and then the other two students that I knew, that I know quite well now, were able to get the funding that they needed and graduate, and now they're on their own disability activism journey as well, because I was able to stand up and fight against the school.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great. Handy Link will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
The Disability Studies Students Association is a small and tight-knit community of people who are passionate about and committed to representing and supporting disability studies students at the University of Windsor. The DSSA holds events on campus and in the community, like the annual Down Syndrome Day Walk, to raise funds for supporting organizations. If you would like to get involved or learn more, you can contact the Disability Studies Student Association directly at dssa@uwindsor.ca.
Welcome back to HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, Deb Toth told us a little bit about the REACT program at Lakeshore St. Andrew's Church, and Ryan Yellowlees told us about his disability story. In this segment of our show, Ernestine Long will be telling us a little bit about Jobs Unlimited. So what can you tell me about Jobs Unlimited?
Okay, Jobs Unlimited, we have actually been around since the 80s. Used to be a sheltered workshop, and then in the mid-80s, when they started inclusion in the school systems and that, the direction of Jobs Unlimited started changing as well, focusing directly on community placements on the vocational side, and moving away from the sheltered environment.
So how do you go about supporting individuals with disabilities in the work setting?
Yeah. So I guess I'll give you a little overview first of Jobs Unlimited. So we provide employment services to persons with an intellectual cognitive impairment or a diagnosis of Asperger's or on the spectrum. We always start with creating an employment action plan to move towards self-sufficiency with a doable and attainable goal, for sure. So when we're meeting with the individuals, they are referred. They can do self-referral as well, but it's adults that we are working with. As the individuals are coming through the school system, or we get a lot of referrals from the government, from social workers, from the occupational therapists as well, to help to serve, as well as parents. They may just hear, that we are into employment, and they may reach out. So a lot of times, initially, we're meeting, it's kind of a client-centered approach. So we just meet and we identify in or appropriate employment options, I guess. And that's just through kind of their skills, their interests, what they would like to do. It's just as important to know what the individual is not comfortable in doing initially. We provide guidance on how to do a job search, where to look for employment. We help with interview preparation. We always assist with resumes. A lot of times the individuals need help with some references in that, cover letters. So we will kind of advocate on their behalf as well. We provide labor market information to the individual, the skill requirements, employer expectations. We do one-on-one job search. We help with career decision making. We assist the individual in kind of researching their occupations. We help set up job shadows just to get a realistic picture of the tasks performed, what expectations are. We work directly with the employers as far as assisting the individual through interviews. And of course, we always, when we do a job placement, job retention, of course, is key. So we provide ongoing support to the individual and the employer to ensure continued success on the job. So an individual may be on a job for a couple of years, tasks are changing, maybe a new piece of technology. So we will go in and kind of give the individual a little bit of guidance in that, some job training, just so it's not taking away the resources from the employer.
So.
And I guess we just effectively work together, the individual, the employer, and the employment counselor.
So I'm curious, in working with employers, do you ever encounter any myths or misperceptions about what a worker with a disability can achieve?
Absolutely. I guess a lot of times liability. That is a concern. You know, the individual's going to get hurt easily. There's, I guess, the individual may be taking away from their resources because they need a lot extra time in training and that. And kind of how we work with the employer on that is we have a lot of testimonials from success stories, of course. In we only deal in the Fredericton area, so we do work with a lot of testimonials, and we ask that they reach out. We will provide a lot of partnerships in that we have in the city, and we will ask that they reach out and ask those questions to the employer.
So when you mentioned success stories, is there anyone you'd like to share that stands out for you?
We have many. I guess one that stands out. Let's see. We had a young gentleman came through the school system, had no exposure at all to what a job looked like, what a job, you know, what it entailed. Not realizing that you need some sort of routine in that. We held several meetings with the individual, just getting a better understanding, because we don't do any sort of assessments, just getting a better understanding. He is on the spectrum, how he learns. Found out quite quickly that anything repetitive in that. He does very well. Certainly had a good routine at home. So we asked, because still not knowing the different sectors and that in the community, we set up some job shadows, different places, kitchen environment, retail store, car detailing, just because a lot of the tasks are repetitious. He seemed to really grasp fairly quickly, stocking, and he was great with numbers. So rotating stock, pulling expiry dates and that, just excelled in. So after doing a job shadow, we started reaching out on his behalf to some employers just to see if we could get an interview set up. He actually, the place that he did his job shadow, they took a great interest, hired him on. Like I say, he had no experience prior to. They hired him on. He would be at least 4 years in that sector. Now he is looking at, actually he's studying for his driver's license, because that is his next goal. Although he is independent, he uses the public transportation system. He did need assistance with the bus route and things like that, but now he wants to take the next step and get his driver's license, and his goal is to save up for a car.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. My friends, in talking about React, Deb was absolutely right, in so much as probably the worst thing you can do as someone dealing with any sort of disability, including mental health concerns and complex trauma, the worst thing you can do is try to go it alone. Try to say to yourself, I'm the only one facing this, why should I seek support? It takes a community in disability life. The fact is, persons with any sort of disability, they're stronger in community. Stronger with a united presence, having people there to stand beside them to help them reach their best. But the fact is, it doesn't just take incoming skills and people working together. It takes a greater recognition of what's possible. We don't always know the capabilities of the human spirit. We don't always know what others have found a way to do. And working together, sharing ideas, sharing resources, and yes, even sharing our stories, gives us a greater insight into these things. For the fact is, for someone dealing with mental health concern or addiction or complex trauma, there can be a great strength in saying, this is my story, I lived it, it hurt me, but it is not the only facet of my life. This gives us an opportunity to take power over our story, to understand that we are still people with something to offer this community, people of strength, dignity, and courage, and yes, even wisdom, hopes, and dreams, all our own. If we just stop dead in the road and say, this is the best it's ever going to be, I'll just let the world run over me. You never get anywhere. And furthermore, you're doing a disservice to this community by not allowing yourself the opportunity to grow in faith and healing and even exploring your own potential. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal, so get up.